Welcome to On OC, the weekly podcast for the Voice of OC, Orange County's only nonprofit newsroom. I'm Norberto Santana Jr., publisher. This week I'm joined by Jose Ocaño from the Best Friends Animal Society.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Jose, thanks for joining us. Here in Orange County, we've been having a debate probably over the last decade about what many here call Southern California's oldest animal shelter. It goes back to World War II. We had a series of animal welfare activists that really got involved. We've had lawsuits filed against the kill rates in the animal shelters. Animal activists like Rose Tingle, one of our op-ed writers, has written a ton about the animal care system. Orange County seems to have turned a corner. We've got a new animal care director. We've got a $35 million new shelter system that's up in place. Some cities are being convinced to do so. Jose, I thought it would be great to talk with you, a big proponent of these types of new sheltering approaches, about where Orange County's been and is Orange County heading in the right direction?
Yeah, there's been a lot of change in animal welfare over the last several decades, you know, and we're seeing it here in Orange County. I saw it in Tucson, Arizona, where I worked and was a shelter director for over 10 years. And it's this evolution of rabies control into like a more progressive community engagement oriented animal shelter where animals go there and find homes and get rehabilitation. And it is interesting because with growth comes conflict, you know, people who want to change, people who aren't ready to change. But the world around us is moving, and so it's important that we move forward. So yeah, so Best Friends Animal Society, we have a national goal to make the country with our partners, which include organizations like OCAC and volunteer groups, advocacy groups, and our goal is to make the country no-kill by 2025. And so when I was lucky enough to be part of the recruitment for the role of the director for the shelter, and Mike Caviani interviewed, it was really great that someone as progressive and experienced as him was going to come home because this is where he's from. And what the cool thing about Mike is the first dog he ever owned and adopted was from OCAC, and it's what inspired him. And the fact that he's come back in this capacity to help this community and these animals, I think, is so serendipitous.
So no-kill shelters, this has been a big debate here in Orange County. Many people have said to me, this is not possible. The role of an animal shelter is essentially to keep a dog from rabies, from running around the street and biting somebody. But short of that, it's not, you know, as taxpayers, we haven't set up systems that are like this. Now, in South Orange County, like in Mission Viejo, there is a no-kill shelter already, and it's been operating like that for years. People wanted to do it. Talk to me a little bit about the differences of going these routes and what the fiscal differences are.
Yeah, so, you know, no-kill shelters, it's about a community ethic. And it's about, the reality is, there are thousands of no-kill shelters and no-kill communities throughout California, throughout the country, essentially. And it's what people want. You know, we do a lot of different polling, and the majority of Americans believe that animals who enter a shelter should leave alive and not dead. And that's a struggle because, you know, animal welfare was born out of necessity for rabies control. And so when you're doing rabies control and your goal is to, like, if animals that get impounded or come into your shelter, you hold them for a minimal amount of time. And if people don't come for them, then they're destroyed. That was the everyday practice. That is a much cheaper practice. It is more expensive to save animals, but it is what communities expect. People want to live in a community where animals are treated humanely and have a chance at a forever home, you know. And so it has kind of put a lot of pressure on politicians and different folks who have to, like, think about how do we do this fiscally. But at the end of the day, it's your constituents want this, then you have to find ways to fund it. And there's a lot, and you know, the interesting thing about animal welfare is there's a big philanthropic arm out there. And I've worked in government for over 10 years. And so I would talk to my colleagues at Public Works, and people weren't writing donation checks for Public Works or things like that. But they were writing million-dollar checks for the animal shelter because people will really put their own personal dollars to help subsidize what the government can't fund. And so it's just a priority for people. So it's again, it's just that community ethic that you want to engage the community, meet them with a sense of curiosity of, like, really trying to understand why are these animals entering the shelter, really get to the root cause and come up with root cause solutions. and really come up with a plan to save the animals coming in. And even a 2.0 is, how do you stop animals from coming into the shelter? Like, that's really the ultimate goal. And so it's important to start to evaluate why animals are coming in so that you can start to come up with those innovative solutions.
Now, that's something we've asked about it here in Orange County that we ask about all the time. I mean, I'm Latino. I grew up with a small dog in the house. That dog never ate dog food. I don't think ever it ate whatever we ate at the table.
Neither did my dogs growing up. Yeah.
Is what the dog ate. If you would have told my mom that it needed special this or special that, she would have had, after a while, she would have understood it. But initially, her first reaction would have been to fight it and to say, you know, a dog eats what we eat. And that's the end of the story. Here in Orange County, I've heard that a good percentage of our animal intakes are coming from Santa Ana, are coming from Garden Grove, Westminster. What's your sense of what does the county need to do to, again, it's not all about building new things. It's about stemming the inflow of new customers for the shelter.
So it's really interesting. Last year, there's this foundation called the Michelson Found Animal Foundation. It's a really great organization. They're based out of LA. And they did this exercise with GIS mapping. And so the first thing they did was they looked at, okay, where are the resources for animals in Los Angeles? You know, where are veterinary clinics? Where are spay-neuter clinics? Where are PetSmarts and Petcos and places you can get pet supplies? And you put those on a map and you quickly start to see these huge blocks of zip codes where there's nothing. And then you do the next layer and you use, you know, different census data to say, okay, let's plug in, you know, ethnicity in here. And so in the same place where those resource deserts, it's predominantly where minorities live. And then you look at the financial things and the socioeconomic things and like people living at or below the poverty area, and boom, there's that other layer. And then when you start to look at where the animals coming into the shelter at the greatest density, and it's the exact same place. And so it's this idea that in animal welfare, we've been saying for decades, you know, it's an overpopulation problem. People just don't care. And then it becomes those people, those brown, poor people, right? And so it's a much deeper thing than overpopulation, because the way you frame your problem is the way you're going to frame your solution. And so when you go to these communities, these people really care. People like us loved our dogs growing up. They were really essential to our families. Just because they perhaps weren't spayed or neutered, or they didn't eat the best quality food, or all of those other things, didn't mean we didn't care. And so going to these communities and really working with them, and I actually don't love the word education, because education to me implies like talking down to someone. I think people get that wrong. It's about engagement, meeting people where they are, really understanding the why. And the reality is, you go to some communities and people are choosing between feeding themselves or their kids. If there's not a local, easy access spay-neuter clinic, that's not going to even be in the realm of their reality, because they're in survival mode. So it's up to us to kind of work to make communities better. And it's almost like a One Health approach, where it's important for municipalities to look at, okay, who else in government are knocking on these doors in these same communities to offer services and just, you know, help these communities and empower them and uplift them. And animal welfare needs to be a partner in that, because until we can get to the root cause of why these animals are producing at the rates they are and why they're ending up in the shelter, we're always going to have a shelter. And the future should be a resource center that's not filled with tons of animals. You know, that's the future of animal sheltering. So we have to like take a deeper look at this and not vilify the people where the animals are coming from, because that's where we get into this mode of thinking, oh, we have to protect these animals from these people. These people are neglecting these animals. And because of that, people advocate for really strict adoption policies. They advocate for not doing fee-waived adoptions, because all these poor, unqualified adopters are going to go and adopt an animal. And that couldn't be anything from the truth, you know? So that's kind of like what the issue is at its deepest core. We're talking about social change is what we want to do.
What are you finding in California? I mean, you mentioned to me before we were broadcasting that I think it's California is the number two for killing of animals in shelters.
Yeah, so something that Best Friends did several years ago is we went on this huge, you know, endeavor to collect as much data as possible. The interesting thing about our movement in animal welfare is for decades, we didn't even know what we were measuring. We had a lot of like assumptions of like how many animals were entering shelters, how many of them were dying, leaving alive, but we didn't have like a way to capture the data. So around this time, there's an organization called Shelter Animals Counts. Their goal is to be this national platform for shelter data. And so we used that, and then we basically went county by county, surveying every single shelter and acquiring their data via FOIA requests, via their website, just trying to email them and see if they would give them to us. So we finally compiled this comprehensive data set. So what that taught us is that California is number two for most shelter killing. There's about 110,000 dogs and cats being killed in California annually, and the majority is in Southern California. And when I talk to Californians, they're actually really surprised. But when you think about it, California is one of the most densely populated states. There's so much financial inequality here. And so, of course, then there's going to be a lot of animals. So there's a lot of work to do, but there's also some really progressive places in California. So I'm really excited to be leading a lot of our California work for Best Friends. But yeah, so it is number two, only second behind Texas.
What do you find in California between, let's say, Orange County, LA, San Diego? Are you seeing any trends?
Yeah, so the biggest trend actually are cats. So of like the 110,000 animals that are being killed, 75% are cats. And so I always am curious about like why, but then you think about like dog is man's best friend. You know, we've have a really significant amount of time in our culture where we associate dogs as a family pet, and cats are just kind of still trickling on, which is really, really interesting. But yeah, cats are killed at an alarming rate in California and all over the country.
Are there different counties that you find are doing a better job? You talk about engagement with communities. We've talked a little bit about San Diego. I knew that when I worked in San Diego, that there was a more of a nonprofit movement, it seemed, down there.
Yeah, you know, San Diego is a good example of everyone working together or attempting to work together to create a better space for animal welfare. A lot of shelters up north, Northern California, are doing some great thing in like the San Francisco SPCA, Marin County, the Silicon Valley Humane Society. And so Southern California, there's still a lot of opportunities for us to do that. And that's why getting folks like Mike Caviani at OCAC is so important. You know, I actually really believe that OCAC has the potential to be one of the leading organizations in the state, because you have your building, you have leadership. I think you have the county who really wants to do better. And they're demonstrating that by hiring someone like Mike Caviani, and all the resources they're putting forward. Now it's time to let him do his job.
Talk to me about Mike. You were on the panel that hired him. What is it about him that was so impressive?
You know, so Mike comes from Austin, and in animal welfare, Austin is actually a model community. Like, their municipal shelter is saving 99% of the 17,000 animals that are going in their doors every single year. And it's been a model for decades. Even like their animal control, they've actually kind of pivoted to be animal protection with like a community policing philosophy, which is more engagement oriented as opposed to writing citations and being punitive. And so Mike comes from being one of the major players who helped build Austin to be a model city. So he's had so much local exposure and national exposure, because everyone in the community, in our country, in animal welfare, who wants to do better, they use Austin as a reference point. So Maddie's Fund is this great organization that actually pays for shelters representatives to go and learn in like this learning academy, which Mike was heavily involved in. And so when he applied and when I saw his name listed, I was like, oh, this is really interesting and great that there's someone like him wanting to pivot to being a shelter director, because he worked for the local nonprofit there. So in Austin, you have the Austin Animal Center and then Austin Pets Alive, where Mike was a director of operations. And it's a really great example of how a private nonprofit relationship can really help a community when they cross collaborate. So he demonstrated that.
What do you think he'll do in Orange County? Have you talked to him? You have a sense of what the needs are?
Yeah. So, you know, I think part of it is like any new director, I think it's just getting your sea legs and really getting an understanding for the current state of the situation. But he's implementing some great things. Like, so Mike is also a dog trainer, and so he has a ton of dog knowledge, especially for hard to place dogs, like those larger dogs that have, you know, typically display behavior issues as a result of being in a high stressful shelter. So I know they're doing tons of play groups now, which is really great for dogs are social animals. So for them to be, you know, kenneled up to maybe get one or two walks a day is not conducive to their mental or emotional well-being. So actually getting them in play groups to interact with other dogs is really, really powerful. So he's doing that. I know they hired a new volunteer coordinator because they want to allow for more volunteer opportunities so that you really need the community engaged because it's a community problem, which means it's a community solution. So he really, really understands that. And I know he's starting to do this managed intake for owner surrenders, which is really, really a positive thing. Just trying to control and better set the flow for the animals that come in. A lot of people get really scared about managed intake and they think like, oh, well, animals are going to be abandoned and you're just trying to become limited admission and those animals are going to have these awful fates. And there's no data that actually shows that that's true. And like in Tucson, where I was a director, we administered exactly this. Everything Mike's doing, we did there. And in fact, we were able to help more people through managed admissions. It's kind of like, even in the medical system, there's a reason why they want to get you into an appointment is so that they can have a flow of people.
So now this is literally for a person that says, I can't handle my dog anymore. Mm-hmm. I got to go surrender them.
Yep.
You want them essentially to make an appointment to go do that.
And I think part of it is about, I don't think with owner surrenders, it's unreasonable. I think it becomes unreasonable if you're the shelter where the people are paying taxes to for your budget and you pick up a stray. You know, like that's trickier. But if you are the owner and the reason you are wanting to turn in your pet is for XYZ, that is not an emergency to you or the animal, you know, I think it's not a bad thing to say, hey, can you come in next week? And in the meantime, actually, what is the issue? And trying to offer support, option, and solutions to keep that animal out of the shelter. In Tucson, anyways, when we implemented this program, we were able to reduce owner surrender intake because we were able to provide actually better counseling before they ever showed up to the shelter. So it's a really critical piece of the no-kill equation is our programs like this. It's all about your flow. You know, if you have 17,000 animals that are coming to your shelter a year, you want to put as much kind of process and structure so that you're not getting hit. Like one day you have 200 animals come in and the next day you have 20 and the next day you have 100. Like that inconsistency is really hard to plan for and to guaranteed live outcomes and good quality of care while the animals are in your care. And so like managed admissions is something, especially for owner surrenders, that's the key piece, is a really good tool to have.
What do you think of the facilities in Orange County? I know that they're still being built and worked on. What do you think of what you've seen so far?
Yeah, so I've been down there a few times. I mean, it's great. I've only briefly went to the original one and it's definite. You can't even compare the two. And so it's really great that you walk in, it's welcoming, it's inviting. Like every time I go, there's volunteers greeting you. It just seems like a place people would want to go. And that's a really huge win for this building because a lot of people don't go to shelters because it's sad and it's depressing and it smells. All you need is Sarah McLachlan playing in the arms of the angel in the background to just like end up in the fetal position. And if you want people to come, then you have to create an environment that is more uplifting. And I mean, it's hard for people. These are animals behind, you know, barred kennels. But I think they did a good job in terms of like when you first walk in, it doesn't feel sad. It feels like hope, which a shelter should be. It's a second chance for these animals to find a home.
You said you went through the original site. How would you describe it? There was always a lot of debate about whether we needed to go to a new site or not.
You know, like I didn't spend too much time there, but I know most shelters that were built in the same time frame that it was built for, you know, a rabies control mindset. It's, you know, you house them for a short period of time and then, you know, they're disposed of. They weren't built with thinking about the animal's experience or the public's experience or the staff's experience, you know? And so we're realizing that shelters are a tool to do your job. You know, at the end of the day, you can still have great life-saving in an old dilapidated building. I see it all the time. But a new building with the right leadership is a great tool to enhance your life saving.
Sheltering of pets is something that's come up too now with the homeless debate. Mm-hmm. There are many people out on the streets living that have a close relationship with a pet.
Yeah.
And they don't want to give it up. What's your sense of that issue and what's your movement do?
Yeah. You know, homeless folks having pets can be a hot topic for, you know, the community because people don't think that they should. And I disagree. I've worked a lot with the homeless, especially in Arizona. And these dogs and cats, it's a lot of times those dogs though, are so well cared for. Like these dogs get to be with their people 24/7. What dog doesn't want that? And these people feed their pets before they feed themselves. You know what I mean? And so I think it's a really important thing that we help them. And so one of the things that they're doing now, especially like in Tucson, is they do these huge drives to get supplies for the homeless people's pets because in Arizona it gets hot. And so it's those little booties to put on the dog's paws and stuff like that. And so rather than going out and taking away all these people's pets that then you have to put in an overcrowded shelter and try and find a home and then do that with tax-paying dollars. It's better to do this volunteer donation drive, help support the homeless and their pets, knowing that that is like one of the closest bonds that they have. Like, I've seen shelters who take, you know, pets away from the homeless, and what that does to these people emotionally, the only like non-judgmental living being who loves them wholeheartedly, like that can be debilitating when you remove that relationship from them. And so I am a huge proponent of working with displaced people, homeless people, and their pets, and supporting that they can stay together.
What kind of programs do you see coming down the road in Orange County in terms of sheltering, engagement programs? What do you think is possible?
Gosh, I think it's all possible. Like, really, it's. I think this is an exciting time. I think OCAC is going to be sharing their statistics, you know, compared 2017 to 2018. I got a quick glimpse at them. Like, I can't share what they are, nor do I remember, but it's really positive. You know, things are on the up there. And so I think Mike and that team will continue to deploy programs that help decrease intake and help the quality of care while the animals are there, and then trying to ensure the animals having a better life outcome. And that can include having a more robust foster program, more robust intervention programs, more programs for community cats, you know, better programs for large dogs who do have some behavior issues as a result of the shelter, making sure that there's really good enrichment, because a board dog is a dog that can act out, you know, and being in that kennel all the time is, you're not setting that dog up for success. So foster and enrichment become really important. And I think sometimes, you know, in a place like OC where people in the community have been advocating for so long, and then you have Mike come on and he comes with this national reputation, and I think sometimes we want him to turn it around tomorrow, and it's a process. Like, long sustainable change takes time, and you have to do it in phases. You know, domino A has to drop before domino C. And so I think right now that team is strategically working out which things to implement in the order that's going to make the most sense for the big picture. And so I think there's going to be a lot of really cool, exciting things. And I have no doubt that, you know, in a few years, we'll be sitting down and talking about how OC is like the training ground for California shelters.
What do you think can be done in communities of color in terms of outreach? I mean, we talked earlier in the program again about that's where most of the numbers come from. And it seems like it's something that Orange County just does not, and I don't know, maybe all counties, do not do a good job of reaching out to that sort of base customer.
Yeah, I mean, I think the first part is acknowledging that it's not an overpopulation problem, and it's not that these people don't care, you know? And so you have to strip away the judgment and these old ideas of what we think the problem is. And then the next piece is coming up with an engagement strategy, you know, and being really thoughtful. There's some really great boots on the ground kind of organizations who engage communities. And I think that's important. And, you know, I also think our movement needs more people of color in it as well, you know? And so something that we talk about a lot is in animal welfare, there's not a whole lot of diversity. And I think we as a movement need to make a much more concerted effort to bring more people into the fold, because those are perspectives that are critical. They're really, really important.
So where would you start? Like, are we talking about like going to a community church and doing an event afterwards?
Or, I think it's community churches. I think any kind of like neighborhood watches, like any kind of system that is already organized, that is neighborhood based. And I think it's about going and talking to these folks and hearing more than anything and really listening to what they have to say and building a relationship and then sharing like, hey, here's another way of doing this. Like, you know, let me help you fix your fence. And if I helped you to fix your fence, you know, do you think we could, you know, keep the dog, you know, in the yard or XYZ, whatever that is. And working with, I think, all of the different political offices, because they all have liaisons, you know, and different folks, and like really connecting with them and also looking at who else is working in these communities. Like, are there other nonprofit organizations with a completely different mission, but this is the same target? And learning from them, like, what do they know about the demographics? Have they done any study? What's their experience? And collaborating so that you're not knocking on the same door three times, but it's once with, here's a menu of things that we want to do to help you. But doing it in a way where people get to maintain their dignity is really important.
Jose Ocaño, Best Friends Animal Society, thanks again for stopping by and telling us about what's in store for us here in Orange County.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Make sure to stop by iTunes. You can like us over there. You can check out archived episodes and hear many more voices from Orange County. Stop by the Facebook page at the same time. Let us know what you like, what you don't like. This newsroom is here for you. Thank you.